police told medical staff that she had hidden her Nebraska ID card in her lady area.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
I have to start with this thing that blew up yesterday. It was like right after we got off of, right after we got off radio. And it had to do with, let me pull this up, Jen Sakai. Now, this isn't so much about Jen Sakai as it is about the media reaction and the way in which media explained it and the way in which she herself was actually deflecting criticism. And I wrote about this. If you subscribe to the newsletter, I'm not even going to apologize for this, all the stuff I've been sending out. That's what you signed up for. You signed up to get stuff as it happens and original takes on it, not regurgitated nonsense. So just to set the perspective for you, media has said for so long, wearing red hats, MAGA hats are racist. But apparently if you wear a Ushanka, which is the furry hat. Actually, I had to look it up because I was like, it's not a hat. It's like something else. A Ushanka with a hammer and sickle on it. That's what it appears to be. That actually just needs context. So let me set this up. Jen Psaki is Biden's pick for press secretary, right? And so back in 2014, she was pictured with Russia's communist foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. And he's a communist because he literally was a member of the Communist Party until it was quote unquote outlawed in Mother Russia. We all believe that, I'm sure. And this was with some, it was like they met and they exchanged gifts, etc. And Matt Wolking, who works, he works with the campaign. He's actually the director of communications for the Trump campaign. He found this picture. It's been online out there for forever, but you know, nobody was really talking about Jen Psaki until her name came up as this pick. And so it was a photo of her, Lavrov, and another Russia's chief foreign affairs person. And then, of course, John Kerry had to get up on her, you know. Well, this is 2014, so she was the spokesperson at the time for the State Department in 2014. And that's all what that's Matt Wolking just described the photo. So USA Today comes in. Oh my gosh, you guys, Joe Biden's press secretary pick is in trouble. In comes USA Today. Not all heroes wear capes. And here's the headline. Fact check. Jen Psaki was gifted a hammer and sickle hat at a diplomatic meeting. Okay. That's literally what the tweet said. That's not a fact check. That's like apropos of nothing, me going, fact check, the earth is round. Nobody said it wasn't. I mean, normally, if you are fact checking something, it's because someone has said something that is not true or accurate. So the media ombudsman comes in, or they act as the ombudsman, they come in and fact check this to determine whether or not the statement is correct or incorrect, true or false. And so USA Today felt that the mere existence of this tweet required a fact check, but they didn't check anything. So this is what they said. Our ruling, missing context. Jen Psaki, recently named White House press secretary for President-elect Joe Biden, is seen in a 2014 photo posing with the Russian foreign minister and his spokesperson, along with then-Secretary of State John Kerry. She is wearing a pink hat with a hammer and sickle emblem. It was a gift from the Russians. Okay? And they said that anything else is caps lock, missing context. What? So all these people on the left were like, it's not a hammer and sickle hat. You can't even tell what it is. Okay, USA Today just said it was, you morons. They literally just made our argument for us. How dare you bring up this? We're going to fact check you. How dare you bring up the fact that Biden's press secretary is pictured in a hammer and sickle, Ushanka? We're fact checking this. She's actually pictured in a hammer and sickle, Ushanka. Okay, that's what we said. Yes, well, we're fact-checking you. By repeating us? There's no claim made beyond the photo, except they were describing exactly what was in the photo. They didn't object to her named as being pictured in said photo. They didn't dispute the fact that she was wearing a Yushchenko, and they didn't dispute the fact that she was wearing a Yushchenko with a hammer and sickle emblem. These are the same people that said that MAGA hats were racist. This is why I'm saying it's more than just about Jen Psaki. They said that MAGA hats were racist during a time when people were attacked in public for wearing MAGA hats. Media called a high schooler a racist because he wore a red hat and he wasn't provoked by a bigot who likes to present himself as a professional victim. Now, the Fourth Estate has never before ever extended any kind of courtesy like this to anybody who is on the right or right-ish. And I know this from personal experience. I can't tell you how many times I've had legacy media do this to me. So there's no context to add to the tweet. And I don't know when legacy press just now, well, I guess maybe it was when they think, you know, Biden won, that now context is important. This is the same press, by the way, and I want to remind you all, that insisted that during the transition period, his foreign policy advisor, Carter Page, they insisted that this guy was a Russian agent and they were forced to eat their hats after the IG report came out. And it was revealed that not only was Carter Page not a Russian agent, but he was actually an operational contact with the CIA against the Russians. You know, context. Yeah, he didn't receive any kind of context like that. And the FBI didn't provide any kind of context when they were misrepresenting him to FISA judges. No, the truth didn't make the rounds as the lies did, as the lies before it did. No. And of course, how many times do you recall, and these are just a couple examples, media going back to that Charlottesville thing and saying that Trump, well, he said that there were fine people. That's what he called those racist and neo-Nazis. Except that's not at all what he said. I mean, even, what was it, like PolitiFact even said that that wasn't true. And they released the whole transcript. But, you know, context. No, this is the new spin from the left. It lacks context. And by the way, I've noted that they've tried this when the Hunter Biden crack computer story broke. And they ran to go and defend Joe Biden's 50-something-year-old child because they were insisting on context. And our tax dollars even paid for some of it because some of it was NPR. And then when Joe Biden made the remark that he didn't want his kids growing up in a racial jungle when he was fighting against desegregation, the media came back during the primary and the general and said, well, this lacks context. What context does it lack? Like the white hood? Like what are you talking about? I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, I could sit here and tell you all the times that media presented stills of things I've discussed and presented it without context. Mm-hmm. And some of the grifters who should be investigated on the right falling for it. I wonder, you know, when I look at some of this other stuff, like how it just amazes me. Context, context, context. So, the Fourth Estate thinks context is situationally important, apparently.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh, I know everybody was talking about that Brad Parscale interview with Martha McCallum last night. In the interview, he was blaming what he says was the president's lack of empathy, coronavirus empathy, for the election loss, which I thought was kind of specious. And he said that we lost suburban families. He said, quote, I think that goes to one thing, opening the economy versus public empathy, as though they're two separate, completely mutually exclusive things. I don't dislike Parscale as a person, but I've just never been a fan of him because I always just felt that he was just kind of out of his league with doing what he was doing, which I think that's why there was the shift in personnel, because he was better on the digital side. But it is what it is here, you know. Also, This, I'm watching some of these stories, the arrests that are taking place in Hong Kong, the activists who have been taking, have been engaging in these demonstrations. And in fact, one of their lead activists over there, Joshua Wong, was just sentenced to 13 and a half months in prison, while another protester received 10 months simply over a protest in which they actually didn't damage anything, which was another blow in to the political opposition in the, well, what used to be semi-autonomous city that China's trying to take over. Also, China lands, they want to land a spacecraft on the moon to, they land a spacecraft on the moon to collect lunar rocks. So just, you know, several decades after we did that. Great job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at you doing that. Don't give them a pandemic. Don't take any Rona up there with you. Just, you know, just FYI. The defiant Staten Island. Did you guys see this guy? This was kind of, I'm doing my 12 o'clock, by the way, headlines. I just realized. But this Staten Island bar owner, he was in the news because he refused to close down. This was after Cuomo and de Blasio were closing down all of these restaurants, all of these businesses, all of these bars. Max Public House. Daniel Presti is the he's the owner of the Staten Island bar, and he was arrested just because simply he was running his business, right? And so sheriffs went, they said they declared themselves an autonomous zone, which I, you know, because like Chaz, right? So apparently that didn't count. And the police went and raided Max Public House. They arrested one of its co-owners, Danny Presti, who I just mentioned. They said he was uncooperative. The officers issued the pub several violations for flouting city and state health orders. Dozens of angry supporters descended on the establishment as well. And so now he was released after his arrest, Presti was. And apparently, I mean, I think, well, I mean, obviously he was cited. And I think he's going to have to go to court. But there were, you know, no injuries in the protest for his arrest or anything like that. But this is just crazy. This is, you know, and we're going to have some hypocrisy on this here coming up. And this coming out of Australia, a photo from The Guardian reveals that an Australian soldier was drinking beer out of a dead Taliban fighter's prosthetic leg. It was Guardian Australia that showed the limb being used to down drinks in a special forces bar in Afghanistan. Where seriously, are we going to get like hurt feelings over terrorists that try to kill like soldiers, like Australian soldiers or ours? Just curious, is that where wokeness is going? We have a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I don't even know how to deal with a couple of these stories. One of them is so bad, there's no way I can read it. What? This other one is also still kind of bad. This is a Click Orlando. Woman with active warrant hides ID in private part during traffic stop, say police. It is not a card swiper. Takara Nowden is accused also of urinating outside of the jail. This is in Hollywood, Florida. She was arrested over this last weekend. She was riding in a vehicle that was pulled over with a connection with a hit and run. And according to the arrest report, police discovered in the driver's vehicle, Takara Nowden, she had an active warrant out of Broward Sheriff's Office for operating a vehicle without a valid license.
Police told medical staff for processing
that she had hidden her Nebraska ID card in her lady area. During the traffic stop, they x-rayed her. It was indeed there. And they had to take her to the hospital to get it out and then bring her back to jail. Yeah, tomorrow I'll tell you about how a guy killed the wrong man. Shouldn't have killed anybody anyway, but he killed a guy named Michael. He was looking for a Mikey. Yeah, stay with us.